My name is Ralph Urbach. More commonly to the community, people have referenced me as Mr. Ralph. From Oh Wow, the Children's Science Center, Roger and Gloria Jones Children's Science Center for technology in downtown Youngstown here, right? We're like neighbors.
We are, you and I, right down the road.
Yeah.
So we're doing some collaborations, we're doing some partnerships, and want to make that introduction to the community. So let's like brainstorm and talk about some of the stuff that us two crazy people have in mind to engage. And that's my favorite word, engage.
Right. You know what? And what I always stress is the fact that when somebody references the word crazy, we like to use the appropriate word for somebody who may be crazy, like left of center, right?
Okay.
It's an appropriate way of saying you're crazy. And then to get us in a room together, I think this conversation has come up several times in the past month where it could go sideways.
And yeah,
I'm a little eager to see what we can come up with. And I think, again, with your genius and your IQ and your ability to kind of be creative this way, hopefully the facilitation and the reciprocity is I can help with that creativity this way.
We feed off of one another. Can you feel that?
I really can. There's an energy, right? There's an energy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So what do we got here? You brought some stuff in just as like a little illustration, just a little snippet of what we have in mind.
Right, right. So I think in our prior talks, we've talked about getting kids to be a little bit more engaged with science, right? You want to learn a lot and maybe have a little bit of fun, or vice versa. I think obviously if you're a child, you want to have a lot of fun and you want to learn. And then that learning, and I'll use this word, stems that creativity, right? To then move on to other things. If you want to be a chemical engineer, if you want to be a scientist, if you want to be a medical professional, or you just want to work in technology or whatever it may be, trades. Hopefully some of what we do at Oh Wow allows that opportunity for those students of all ages, 4 to 104, to open up that Pandora's box of what else can I do?
Right.
Or what am I capable of? I think I like that more, like giving a 4-year-old or 6-year-old the opportunity to say, oh my God, what else can I do? And that's what I'm looking for. And I hang on those words when I'm educating students. So today I brought some lasers. I know you're
I love lasers.
And I will say, I will reference, we really want to be careful with what we're bringing out and bringing to the table with the students. This laser that I have is fairly high powered, and it actually has keys to unlock it. You can't open it up without unlocking it with the keys. So, and then I brought something that is near and dear to me. In all the years that I've been educating and teaching and counseling, 25 to be exact, I bring things to the table that you would commonly see in your house that may be therapeutic for you, may allow you to take some of that negative or positive energy and feed it into something a little bit more creative. So I brought a little of what we would call a mystery STEM sack. And I may actually just put this in your plate. I may give this to you and say, okay, Joe, you got 2 minutes to do what I ask you to do.
Right.
So I'll put you on the spot and see how well that IQ pans up to what I'm at. Because listen, I don't even know what's in the bag. I had my staff put some things in the bag. I know they're common goods, so you should be familiar with them,
okay,
other than maybe the broken egg. No, I'm just, there's something. So basically,
before we do that, can I tell you something?
Sure.
You mentioned 4-year-olds, because I want to hit you with something that happened this Saturday. So we were recording in the back studio on Saturday. And so I was in the studio and we had to be quiet. Now, in the audience, we had a 4-year-old, and a mom was trying to keep the 4-year-old content with a tablet or whatever. And you could see that the 4-year-old was kind of like getting frustrated and stir crazy. So I took my bag of electronics, the wires and whatever. And again, we had to be quiet, so I couldn't give instructions. I just took the electronics and I threw down on the floor, and I sat down on the floor with this 4-year-old, and we just started playing. And what I saw, like, she didn't know what we were supposed to do. She didn't know that there was an intent, but giving her sort of that license to be able to start like messing with stuff and touching stuff and not afraid to break stuff, she started building and creating. And I don't even know what she was building, but she did. She was on it. And I love that.
Yeah, I think you really hit the head on how we as a museum have become such a like a pipeline for littles, I call them the littles, to even the grownups, where you allow, and you said that license. Listen, we're just going to think outside the box here. There are no directions. We're just going to go with it, right? And I think a lot of times as a counselor, one of the big things that I paid attention to, and I will say that the kids that I was around and the children that I was counseling educated me more, not more than the professors that I learned from YSU, right up the street, right. But just as much. I learned so much from those children, and they taught me to be a better listener. And when you have a child who's fidgety or crying or you know, acting the way that they are or presenting a challenge for that parent, they're talking to you. And your ability to talk to that little girl without having to say a word meant probably so much, not only to her, to you, to that family, but I'm betting probably all of my paycheck that there were people paying attention to you that weren't part of that family. And they were like, wow, I'm going to do that next time. Right.
Right.
Maybe just going into your fridge and grabbing a bunch of food and just throwing it out on the table and going, hey, what do you think we could make? Right.
Yep.
I love that, Joe. And I love that about you. I love the fact that in these meetings, and we've only met three or four times, right? It always creates like an eagerness in me. Like, okay, I'm supposed to be down at Joe to 11 o'clock. I want to get there at 10:55, you know?
Right.
So I love that. And I hope that both of us, speaking for you, we create that for students and for grownups, that you're eager to do that next thing,
yep.
Right? Whether it's be on the radio or, you know, write down a note or jot a thought down, or in this instance, create something, right? Yeah. Do some science.
Yeah. And as adults, I think we put so much emphasis on perfection and an end result that we forget how to like play and just figure and discover things that way. So when you engage with a 4-year-old and they're not afraid to just get it wrong, like you handed me something in a bag, like I don't really care if I know what to do with it or not. I'm going to jump right in there and see what I can come up with, you right. know?
And failing is one of my favorite words to use. And I know it's hard for people to accept that. Grownups, it's really hard to tell them, listen, you failed.
Yeah.
It's right. What can you do afterwards? You failed. Let's modify it and let's fix it and let's move forward. Right. Children are a little bit more resilient. And I'd like to think that we as grownups, we can be resilient too. And put away our, you know, the we're going to get out the modest stick and be very modest. Listen, I don't know how to do everything, but I'm sure as heck going to do the best I can to figure it out.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. So that's great.
All right. Well, I just want to share that with you. Sorry to interrupt you.
I think, and those are the things that I need to hear, Joe, as an educator, a facilitator, a father, a coworker, a friend. I mean, it's great to hear stories about what you do that when you go home, maybe it wasn't work that, you know, helped you get through the day. Maybe it was that one act of kindness. Maybe it was that one act of like, you know, today I was presented with a challenge and it had nothing to do with what I was doing. It was separate. And I wish that everybody would sort of have that in their pocket, like just a random act of kindness, you know, that's like, it. And you did, you were kind to that. I'm sure that mother or that parent was struggling, right?
Right.
And you saw it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we're not aware of everything that's going on around us, you know, multitasking. So that's part of this too, right? Being able to multitask.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. So, I guess basically, let me start off with the big thing. I think ultimately this is really cool. If we are going to present a challenge for these students on this specific thing that we're doing, one of the big things is giving that student a challenge, giving clear-cut direction as to what you need from them, but then allowing them to kind of find a way, right? So in this instance, I think what we had talked about is we're going to give them a challenge of, I guess, popping a balloon, right? Now, I guess as customary as you can be, you could probably squeeze this as hard as you want. I mean, this thing it's packed full of carbon dioxide, right?
Okay.
We could give them a needle or some sharp object, right? And I think ultimately it would be really cool to present them with saying, listen, do you think you could pop this balloon with an amount of energy? And what energy may you be able to use? And I'm sure they'd come up with a bunch of ideas, right? I think in this instance, we're looking for one specific energy, right? Do you know what energy we're going to use? I'm sure you do, right?
Right.
Right. We're going to use this laser.
Yeah.
Here. Now, I have to unlock this. I will be very coherent about stating that this is a laser. You do not want to point at anybody. You don't want to shine it in the sky. These things can be very dangerous. And I think if they're used appropriately, dangerous doesn't have to be dangerous anymore. It can be very useful and an educational tool. So this is the educational tool here, right? So that amount of energy that we're going to apply here revolves around light, right? Using radiant energy. And the radiant energy is going to come from this laser, which essentially is going to, at some point, heat up a spot on this balloon, which then is essentially going to pop it. Now, it would be easy for me to sit here and just kind of like shine the light on it, right? That's pretty easy. What if we were to use the radiant energy and sort of bend it or twist it or turn it using things that might have like reflective capabilities, you know, a mirror, a lot of the things that, oh, wow, have reflective principles about them. So shining a laser off of this, and I'm not going to do this, but shining a laser off this to my left might allow the laser to go in a different direction. I would think that it would probably go right.
Right.
Just guessing.
Right, right.
Correct. Yeah. Or
you've done this before.
No. Yeah. I think ultimately, and it's funny because I was at my parents' house yesterday and my dad, we were talking about this and he said, you know, your mother has a vase over there. Shine the laser on the vase.
See what happens.
Right. And literally Rocky the cat went super like nuts when I shined the light and it just light went everywhere. He was just all over the place, overstimulated, I will say. But, you know, just taking a simple prism, which has the capability of allowing that light to move through it in several different directions. So I guess what I'm alluding to is that we may present these students with a challenge of, okay, listen, we're going to allow you to pop this balloon, but it's not going to be where the laser is going to be right next to the balloon. You're going to have to bend this light or shape this light or this amount of energy around certain objects or get it to a point where it can pop that balloon. Maybe we put a time limit on it, Joe.
Right.
Maybe we say, listen, you got to do this or, you know, maybe something bad's going to happen where you're holding slime that they just made over their head.
Right.
And if you eclipse that time limit, guess what's going to happen?
Slime on you.
We're going to pop that balloon and you're going to get slimed, brother. Yeah. So
can I tell you my laser story, by the way?
Go ahead. Absolutely.
So I've always loved lasers, even when I was a really little kid. And, you know, we didn't have much money, so we didn't have the components to actually give me a laser. So I tried to build a laser by myself, right? So I was reading these, you know, those like 101 projects where you connect the little electronics with the little springs and the wires. Okay. Well, I was reading one of those books and it was telling me how a laser operated. And I kept seeing like, okay, well, you take light and you focus it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. So I got a shoebox and I lined the inside of the shoebox with aluminum foil. And I put a pin prick on one end, right, to let light through there. And then I took flashlight lenses and I tried to align them in a series to see if I could keep focusing the incoming light to centralize on a point on the other side of the box. It didn't work, right? But the pursuit of it gave me an understanding like what that piece of that device that's doing it times a million,
right,
I was trying to do with, you know, one exponent.
Well, and you literally did something that I crave from the people that I meet. It's going out and finding a way or finding the answers on your own. Too common, we have everything at our fingertips, right? Mm-hmm. You could Google anything.
Right.
And quite frankly, sometimes it's bad to Google things because you could get yourself into a dangerous situation.
Sure.
You know, there are people out there doing things for the sake of just viewership, right? That can be dangerous. And my fear is that you put this wonderful device or this wonderful technology in front of a child who has some wonderment, and you give them the capability of doing something that's dangerous or harmful to themselves or their friends or their family. So hopefully when people are making these videos and doing these things with these wonderful devices, they're doing it in an appropriate manner that they're understanding that there are going to be so many people watching this across so many different spectrums.
Sure.
So I love that you figured it out on your own. You didn't go Google anything.
Right.
You just grabbed a bunch of materials and you used your brain, right?
Yep.
You went tapped into like Mr. Smith, your science teacher from seventh grade or whatever. And I like that. I like that kids are saying, you know what, one of my favorite classes was to have with Mrs. Smith or Mr. Jones or whatever. And they taught them something. And it may take you a little bit to go back and remember that. But I think that's part of it, right?
But it sticks with you too. Like those things, like even the girl back there with the electronics, I bet she'll remember that moment. She won't remember the tablet time, right? But she will remember the time that some dude let her just string together a bunch of electronics in any way she wanted to.
I don't know, Joe. I think you're probably one of those dudes where, like, I think she'll remember you. I think she'll remember that. Hopefully more so than the pattern. That's amazing in itself,
yes,
right?
Right.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. And I think I appreciate what you did. I probably would have done the same thing, or I would have taught my staff or the people that I've surrounded myself with the same thing. You know, go help that person out, you know, and that's what it's all about, right? Helping your brother or your sister or your neighbor to get through a little challenge. It's
now, great. any science experiments from when you were a kid seared in your brain that you can recall being life-changing?
It's funny because we talk about, like, you know, growing up, it wasn't so much the science that I did in school or with science teachers. It was the science that I did with my grandfather and my father.
Okay.
You know, my mom. You know, the science of cooking. you know, and for my mom, you know, she's a full-blood Italian. So there was so much science in what she did. You know, she didn't have to measure, but she, if she did measure, she talked about measuring, you know, and there's, right, there's math in that, right? And then just the cutting of the garlic that that literally disintegrated in the saute pan. And there was a reason why it did that, right? Why did the garlic that she cut a little thicker not disintegrate or dissipate quicker than those really thin sliced pieces of garlic? There's science in that, and the science of sauteing. So just that whole science of cooking got me interested in doing that.
Oh, beautiful.
For my father, my grandfather, obviously it's, you learn from your prior, you know, your prior mentor. And, my dad, learned from my grandfather, and it might've just been the science of bleeding the brakes on the 57 Chevy.
Okay.
There's science in that, right? Why was, you know, if there's air in the lines, you're not going to get what you want, right? And there's a reason why there's air in the lines, and there's a reason why you're getting the result that you want. So there's science in that, just from simple science like that. And then, you know, that was my grandfather teaching my father, which essentially, like in hindsight, I look back and I dreaded those days of having to go into the garage and help my dad bleed the brakes. It was boring. But in hindsight, I realized what he was doing. He was teaching me. And then that filtered into him understanding he needed to give me something a little bit more interesting that I thought was interesting. So he would buy me chemistry sets. He would buy me erector sets, Legos, Lincoln Logs, doing engineering principles with, you know, finding the ways of why a triangle is the strongest geometric form and mixing chemicals in a chemistry set and then going, hey, Dad, what if we mixed these chemicals that are in our cabinet? I'm out of this stuff here. Can we go find stuff in the cabinet? And listen, my dad was the kind of guy that had, he had a vial of mercury. He had a vial of skunk spray. Like, I don't know how he got this stuff. I don't want to know, but he was that dad. He always had these things like hidden. And it intrigued me. I mean, we still have a bottle of iodine, you know, and methylate in our cabinet, which is literally poison, right? But those are the kind of things that, again, dangerous, but if used appropriately, there's a purpose. And he was always very thoughtful and very thorough about teaching me.
Like, no, we push mercury around all the time and I'm not dead. So,
right now you didn't eat it. Right. I find it amusing sometimes to be able to know that you have to take a little bit of risk with, to get that reward that you want. And he was afforded that capability, right? They didn't think about these things when they were growing up. I mean, I have fillings in my mouth that are full of like probably chemicals that you wouldn't.
Lead and right, all that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, they're still in my mouth. Right. But people will tell you, you got to get those out. You got to take those out. I guess I'm past that point. But I think, Joe, the whole point is like we deal with things in our everyday life. I could walk outside, trip over the curb, smack my face off the ground and be gone.
Right.
I'm willing to take that risk. Yeah, and I'm willing to do it appropriately and through an educational purpose when I'm down at the museum. And I always reference that. I'm not going to put your child or your staff member or your adult in any dangerous situation that I wouldn't put myself in. If we use science, you know, we're wearing glasses or we're wearing goggles. If we're doing something dangerous, I'm referencing, listen, that saw blade's sharp. And here's how sharp it is. I'll take it. We'll cut something. Think about what it could do to your hand. So you're thinking about those things.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when you're on the radio, you're always thoughtful about like watching what comes out of your mouth.
Right. Because someone's going to try something stupid, I say, and they're going to get themselves in peril and it's going to because they heard it from me.
Right. So, and we live in a society where everybody's waiting for you to make that mistake.
Right.
So they can knock you down. And you know what? I'm okay with being knocked down. I'm very transparent. And if I make a mistake, I apologize.
Right.
Right. And hopefully you can forgive me. And if you can't, then okay, I'll forget, you know, it is what it is.
Now, you mentioned that there's a lot of stuff that's in our culture right now that's killing that wonderment. That's that get your answer right now. You know, me as a dad, I mean, it's hard for me sometimes to be asked a question from my kid and not give him the answer because I don't want him to just get the answers from me. I don't want to be his encyclopedia. I want to ask the question right back. Why do you think that da, da, da has happened? Yeah. And that way, you know, I want to foster that, you know, direct access to answers probably isn't exactly what you need.
Yeah. I guess, and I always preface this and I've been very copacetic and understanding of when I say things, this is my own opinion. My own opinion is that I think as adults, we fear being mocked. Sometimes we fear being embarrassed and we definitely don't want to be embarrassed in front of our friends and family.
Right.
It's hard. It's hard for people to laugh at themselves. And I think not knowing the answer, there's a fear in that.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than say, you know what, let me get back to you. Or, you know what, let's go look that up together. Or let's find out. Or on your end saying, I don't know, what do you think? putting it in the other person's court, you know, or in that child's court, sometimes there's fear, like what could happen. I mean, it's as simple as like if it's pouring down rain outside, right? And your son or your daughter or my son or daughter goes outside in the rain with no shoes on. What's the first thing a parent says? Put your shoes on. Put your boots on. Why? Why?
Go find out what happens when you don't.
Yeah. Isn't it more fun to go like traipse through the mud and like and get it through your toes?
You're right.
I like, and it's simple stuff like that. And I think it's like what could happen. But I think ultimately that's what keeps us alive, right? Is fear, you know, or we would just all go really just out and do really, really silly stuff. And it would harm us. But you have that little part of you that says, okay, I can push things to the point, but then I'm not going to go any farther.
Right.
But I choose to be around people who want to push the envelope a little farther.
That's me.
And it, you know,
you matched right up.
Yeah. But always within the thought of like, let's think about this. You know, that's why going back to school and you draw a schematic or a blueprint up and you build a prototype and you test that prototype out before you actually build what it is that you want to build.
Right.
So with thought, you know, you're doing everything with thought. And I think sometimes people don't think about things. And then I think sometimes people, and again, my own opinion, I think you overthink things.
Yep.
Just do it.
Right.
Just do it.
And one of my favorite things in our discussions back there was taking some things that may be myths and but are understood as truths and being able to pop some holes in it to, you know, to unearth some truths. And there was a popular show on Discovery Channel not long ago that all of us science people loved, and doing a little version of that of ourselves. So that's going to be one of my favorite things.
No, and you did this, Joe. You started this relationship, and you, I mean, I came in here to your studio and I was like, this is great. You know, wouldn't it be great if we just talked science on the radio, you
right.
know, or just had kids call in and ask us questions, and maybe we couldn't have the answer, you know, or didn't have the answer. But then that fueled into like your staff and your people that you surround yourself with going, maybe there's something more to this. And I think, again, it's always surrounding yourself with great people. That's what makes you a great person. If you surrounded yourself with great people. So I think you started this and I like to tag along. I like to be involved with things that are helping the community, specifically our students and our children and our families, to just want more. You know, want more science, want more of Youngstown, want more of the museum, want more of the History Center, whatever it may be. So you started this, and hopefully there is no end to that, right?
Right.
I guess I'm a reader, and Shel Silverstein said there are no happy endings, but there are really great, wonderful beginnings and wonderful middles. And right. I think let's just stay right there. Yes. I don't want there to be right. an ending here, right? So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that was a good introduction of what we've got going on.
Okay.
We'll do this regularly. We'll check in and we'll get things going into the fall and into the winter time and engage the community. So I appreciate you coming down here and talking with me.
I just appreciate you allowing me to be here, Joe. I think it's great. And what you're doing down here is fantastic. So I'm your biggest PR guy. I'll help you out when we're not in studio.
Beautiful. Thanks, Ralph. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.